Ale, man, how are you doing?
Hey, very good, Charles. How are you doing?
It's been good. Build was great.
Yes, it was a great event.
Cool. Oh. Is that why we weren't here? Didn't we? When's the last time we did this, man? Was it June or?
Yeah, a couple months ago. All
right.
Right on.
So we did. We are sticking to our 1 month thing. That's
yes.
cool.
Nice.
So we're gonna try something new today.
All
right. Right. Let's switch.
Okay, let's switch.
Okay, I'm gonna be you. And you're going to be me.
Right.
I'm now a real Italian and you're a fake Italian.
Are you going to Italy on vacation?
Soon? Yes, but I'm not going to take my wife and kids.
Okay. Good for
so,
you.
But I guess I would have to if we're trading.
Exactly.
So, who did you interview, man?
So, I interviewed James McNally's.
Nice.
Great guys on my libraries team. Very excited to do that. It was fun, actually. You know?
Cool.
And we chatted about, you know, Stack Overflow because he's always there, you know. Mm. A lot of answer replies and so on. And so I really like the space. We really like it. We talk mostly also with our documentation folks.
Okay.
And then we talked about, you know, what is working right now, you know, on the C runtime, some interesting tidbits. Go watch the interview, then we talk about it at the end.
Excellent, man.
It's interesting.
So this is old school, right? So you just took a camera
the camera.
And I thought it's really old school.
It's a camera with the tape. Now you have to turn it. They made fun of me.
Well, hey, if you want to do the real switch, man, we get a nice HD camera.
Okay.
And don't worry about mics. Just talk loud. You don't have a problem
okay.
doing that.
Okay.
All right. So I want to say one more thing. I mean, there are a lot of interesting things that have been going on.
Yep.
As people know, there was a relatively good C++ presence at Build.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Eric Broomer's talk was killer. Herb's talk was killer. Schreeder's talk was killer. Tarek.
Yeah.
There was Going Native Live.
Yep.
So that kind of rocked the house. And Herb's talk.
Yes.
He announced Going Native 2013.
Super excited about that, yeah.
Exactly. But nice. I guess because it's live, these guys out there think they don't have to come. And what I have to say about that is you're crazy. Do come. Do be there because the people that are going to be in the room are going to be amazing.
The networking is great.
The networking is incredible, man.
Plus, you talk with the right people, right?
You yeah.
know, Google.
You can just have a beer with Bjarne. You can't do that when you're watching something live, streaming in your little video player. So,
it's the power.
Register for Going Native, man.
See you soon there.
Rock and roll.
Hello, everybody. This is Ale Contenti from Going Native Channel 9. I'm here with James McNally's from the Visual C++ Libraries team. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's your name? What do you do? Tell us more about yourself.
So as you said, I'm James. I'm currently a developer on the Visual C++ Libraries team, on the core libraries side of the team, and we work on the C runtime, the C++ standard library. We also support legacy libraries like ATL and MFC. So I specifically am responsible for the C runtime libraries going forward.
Right now, yes.
Yep.
Cool. Where do you come from? You
know, yeah, so...
Always been C runtime?
I have not always been working on the C runtime. So I joined Microsoft about 3 years ago.
Okay.
I started off on the Blend team, which is the XAML designer tools, and I did a lot of work on that team to help integrate the designer into Visual Studio, and then to add support for Windows 8 apps and C++ projects.
Oh.
Then last year, I joined the C++ team, the libraries team, in September, and I started off working on a number of different projects. I first started off just working on like everything. I had a bunch of bug fixing I did in the C++ standard library, and then a bunch of work for C++ CX to fix some bugs there. And then my predecessor, who was maintaining the C runtime, left the team, and I was it was thrown at me.
Mahmoud, went in our position. Yes.
And so it got thrown in my lap, and I have to admit, I was a bit disappointed at first, because I'm a big fan of modern C++ and, you know, building awesome C++ libraries, and here's this ancient C code base that's older than me in some places, I'm sure, and I now get the opportunity to maintain it. But it turns out it's been a lot of fun.
Great.
It's been a really cool project.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
It would be great, you know. I noticed that you have a Stack Overflow t-shirt. Well, I don't know what Stack Overflow is.
I do have a Stack Overflow t-shirt. So Stack Overflow is a question and answer website where people ask programming questions and other people answer them. And I've been contributing there for, I think, 3.5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
I actually started off contributing by asking a question. I was confused about some template thing, and so I asked a question and got an answer in about 20 minutes or less. And so I was like, wow, this is really cool. I should start answering questions, too. And, so
We really like the site.
It's great. It's wonderful.
It's amazing. I mean, kudos to everybody that, you know, contributing there. Absolutely right. You know, of course, yeah. To you, but you know, billions of people out there, right?
I think the coolest thing is that there's people from like practically every perspective. It's not Microsoft C++ right. centered. There's people, you know, that work on G-Thing. There's people that work here. There's people that build all kinds of C++
stuff. And it's not only about C++ either.
Well, exactly, yeah. There's programming of all varieties. You know, even PHP, if that counts as a program.
attenzione. You're going to get some enemies on the program.
Probably.
Cool, yeah. So, yeah, that's great. You know, yeah. So you're really pushing it for it?
Absolutely. You know? I mean, I encourage people around here to try and contribute more. I email people questions when I find questions that I know someone here has the answer to. And currently, I've been trying to push. We have a lot of internal mailing lists here at Microsoft where people discuss, you know, C++ and other programming languages and things. And most of the discussion, you know, could be public. You know, there's nothing internal or top secret that's going on. But you know, trying to push a lot of those discussions, you know, onto public sites to try and. You know, get that information out there, especially for things like Windows Store apps, where you know there's a lot of information that you know could be really helpful to people.
Absolutely, that's good.
Yeah, so I've been working with Eric Battaglio, who's our community PM.
Of course, owns the VC blog.
He does.
You know, nice and please. Yeah, that's great. That's really thanks for you know giving us you know some you know points. I mean. Pointers to Stack Overflow in general, So let's go back, you know, I mean, this is your office, right, you know.
Sure, it is,
that's cool, look at that, books. Oh, you have this nice painting, look at that. Venice. Yeah. Very artistic. Did you paint it?
Are you going to show them my friend?
Oh, yes, I want to show the bear.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What's the story of the bear?
Yeah, so I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, I don't remember if it was my birthday or Christmas, but my parents asked me what I wanted for a gift, and I told him I didn't want it. I didn't give him any ideas, and so I went over to their house, and he was waiting for me.
Sweet!
So, yeah, it was. It turned out really well.
Does he have a name?
So his name is Ivan. He was named by a colleague at a former company that I worked at.
Oh, okay, no geeky C++, mm-hmm. No like Void Star or
no.
Stuff like that. Okay. No printf bear. Okay. I think we'd like to hear more about, you know, your experiences, you know, in... you know, moving some of the old C code, you know, to C++. What you know, what can you share, you know, if you can, right, you know?
Yeah, so one of the things I've kind of been working on as sort of a long-term project, nothing short-term, has been to try and modernize some of the C runtime sources. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of cruft in there, you know, there's comments about how things move around in registers in 16-bit windows, and we don't actually care about that anymore.
Hopefully.
So it's kind of... in a way, it's kind of a software archaeology project where you know, I get to go dig through and find out what's really there, what pieces we need to keep, and try to move all this ancient C code and slowly start using modern C++ features to improve it, like RAII and templates and other things. So there's been a lot of opportunity there. Some of the things that I've been working on, we use a system of macros called tcare in our sources, and many of our customers use it, where there's a header tcare.h, and if you define Unicode, then everything, all of these tcare functions and types work with wcares or wide strings, and if you don't define Unicode, then they work with narrow strings or just cares. And so we use this all over in our sources, and we oftentimes, like, we'll have one CPP, or we'll have one .c file that that works for both, and by default it'll be compiled as for narrow strings, and then we'll include that file in another .c file, and we'll just define Unicode, and then we'll build it a second time. So going through and trying to replace some of that with templates to use, you know, a more modern form of generic programming, which not only improves, you know, the readability of the source, because there's a lot less ifdefs, we can go search for things much easier, the IDE likes a lot better, but it's also a lot easier to maintain, because we don't have all these macros everywhere flying around. That's been one of the
that's cool.
big
yeah.
areas.
Yeah.
I think a recent change set that I put in, we actually added R-value references to a couple places, and even a variadic template, so it's been interesting to find out what limited ways I can use C++ in this, you know, C code base.
Yeah.
Yes. So another area that I've been working on improvements as I've been trying to, in the CRT, we have to use structured exception handling in various places. So, for example, when we take a lock, we need to use a try finally to ensure that always unlock. And one of the things I wanted to do was replace that with RAII instead of the try finally. But it was pointed out to me that RAII does not have the exact same semantics. So it destructors only get called when C++ exceptions cause unwinds through the stack. Right. But if an ordinary structured exception, like say an access violation, unwinds through the stack, they won't get called if you use certain compiler options that we use. In general, you don't want to handle these exceptions, but we do want to provide users with the ability to handle them, and we want to make sure the CRT is at least in a somewhat sane state when we return control to them. So we want to make sure that we do the unlocks. But one of the problems that we have is that I still want to use RAII elsewhere in the CRT, and you can't have a single function that uses classes that have destructors and try finally. You can't mix the two in a single function. The compiler won't let you. And so one of the tricks that I was actually just working on yesterday was using lambdas and a function template to...
No macros,
yeah. Using lambdas and a function template to encapsulate all of the structured exception handling machinery so that we can actually mix things much more easily.
Wow.
So I don't know if you want...
I'd love to see that. Yeah, that would be some template fun. Yeah, absolutely.
We have these two functions, and they take locks, and they actually have a couple parameters that let us say which lock we want to take, but for the moment, this is good enough. And then throughout the CRT, anytime we take a lock,
and these are the old coding. So
this is the old code, yeah. So what we do is we'll take a lock in the code, and then we'll have a try finally block, and we'll actually do our, you know, our actual operations here in the try block. And then in the finally block, we'll do the unlock. And this ensures that if any structured exception unwinds the stack and, you know, is actually handled somewhere, we'll unlock the lock and
we'll make sure
that
we don't have
deadlocks somewhere. So the problem is that let's say I want to use a smart pointer in this function. So let's say that up here I have, you know, I want to use what we have a... this would not work because unique pointer has a destructor, and you can't mix types that have destructors with the structured exception handling machine.
So the compiler will get mad at you.
The compiler will not compile. It'll be very angry.
That's good. So
what I've done in order to do this is I've basically taken advantage of lambdas. So I've written a function template called... lock and call. And what it takes is it takes a it takes a callable object. And what we do in here is we basically move all of the try finally code into here. So and in the try block, what we'll do is we'll actually just call this callable object that was passed in. So what we've done here is we've encapsulated all of the structured exception handling machinery into one place. So this function can't use anything that has destructors, but that's okay because it doesn't have anything that has destructors. It's just going to call this other function. And then what we can do is we can replace all of this code with a single call to this lock and call, for example. this would do the exact same thing that this block here did.
Of course.
Inside of this function, we can use any RAI types that we want, and outside of it, we can use any RAI types that we want, like this, and we'll capture them. And so we basically forward all these types through, and since they're never in the same function as the try finally machinery, we don't have to we don't make the compiler angry.
Right. So basically, here you're going to put a unique pointer x just outside the code.
Yep, and then so in here, since we're capturing everything by reference, we could do x equals
exactly
or what have you. And actually, I did miss one thing. This doesn't actually return void. It's because oftentimes a pattern that we have in the CRT is we'll have two functions. So we'll have one function like fread to read from a file stream. And then what it'll actually do is it'll take the lock, and then it'll return whatever a function called fReadNoLock returns. And so that function doesn't require the lock to be held.
Right.
And the reason we do this is because internally we call a lot of functions, and we don't want to keep acquiring the lock over and over and over again.
Because we already have the lock.
We already have the lock. And so so it allows us to reuse functionality and avoid all this overhead to keep acquiring things. So really we'd like to be able to return whatever f returned. And so... up here will actually return auto. And
that's hard to write by memory.
It is. I think this is correct. And we want to return the type of the function call expression.
The operator.
So then in the function we could write a return statement here.
Right.
But there's an additional caveat. That returning from a try statement is actually very, it's not performant. And the reason why is returning from a try effectively does the same thing that an unwind operation does in the stack. So when we write real code in the CRT, what we do is we will have a variable. I'm just going to call it int for the moment. We'll have a variable outside of the try block. And then we will assign to it the result of calling a function. And then at the end, we'll return it. And then in here, if you want to break out early, there's a keyword called __ leave that you can use to leave the try block.
Right.
So we use that instead of return. But up here, instead of int, since we're returning this decal type, this would actually just be a decal type.
Right. Exactly the same.
This has other benefits as well. Like I was saying, we actually have to pass the name of the lock into these functions. And so in this implementation, which we've been using for a while, many, many years, you have to name the lock twice, once here when you lock and once here when you unlock.
All right.
Potential, we haven't done it yet,
yes.
But there's potential that to screw that up. And here, we would actually pass the name of the lock into the function.
Right.
You only have to pass it once. It also substantially cuts the number of lines of code that, just boilerplate code that we have to run, which is handy.
And it's nice that, and now the lock and call, for example, is something you can reason about it a little better.
Right.
Because it's a function, you can... you can imagine you throw more analysis at that or especially around, lock inversion and so on. Not that we have anything like that right now.
Absolutely.
But, you can imagine a few machinery that you can. Did we do anything related to, rings and level of locks and so on?
We do have a lock hierarchy in the CRT of what locks can be acquired before what other locks. But in general... there's very few places where that matters. One place that matters is the I.O. library is actually in two parts. So there's the low-level I.O. library, which has like the __open, the _read.
Of course.
That deals only directly with the files. It doesn't do any buffering. It doesn't do any formatting.
With the files coming directly from the system, from Windows.
It's basically
really.
Just a wrapper over Windows. It's similar to the POSIX APIs.
Windows FDs, yes.
And then on top of that, we build the std.io library, which has the familiar fopen, fread, feof, things like that. And both of those layers have locks because they can be used independently. They may not, one file may not correspond to one file handle. And so we're always very careful that whenever we need to acquire both locks, we lock std.io before we lock low.io.
Of course.
But in general, most places we don't need to acquire two different locks. The CRT has you know, maybe 24 locks, like global locks mm-hmm. that you use, but they're for different types of functionality that, you know, you don't usually have to
intermix.
Have to mix and match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, 24 locks. That's a lot. Lock families.
It's, yeah, so most of them don't actually get used very much. So, like, we have a heap lock and a deep lock,
right.
a debug lock. They're only used in the debug implementation. We have some of those global locks are for opening and closing files. We need to be able to lock the global data structures that we
right.
have. There's an exit lock. So most of them are
sure,
things
sure.
that, you know,
smaller.
They're not frequent operations.
Yeah,
so, like, you're calling sign.
Very localized.
Call sign, we're going to go and lock that.
That would be bad, yes.
Yeah.
And does this perform, of course, very, very similarly to the old code?
This will perform roughly similarly. There may be a slight amount of overhead because of the added use of RAII.
Uh-huh.
So destructors are not... the overhead would be in the single numbers of single-digit instruction numbers,
right, yeah, sure,
basically
sure.
just to update the SEO
Dying.
Stack
yes.
on x86.
Yeah, yeah. Especially on x86.
On x64 and ARM, I would expect this to perform basically the same.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And
that's great.
To be honest, the kind of things that we're locking, we don't, you know, one or two instructions are not
right.
the kind of things we're worrying about.
Yes,
so,
that's
yeah.
not the, you know,
yeah.
the problem there. Absolutely.
So, but yeah, this is brand new, so I have no idea if it really works.
Right.
I just wrote it
that's
yesterday.
Great. Beautiful.
But,
yes.
Yeah.
So please debug.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can read it and and, you know, and I'll ask James on Stack Overflow if it doesn't work.
Yes. Or ask me how it works, you know, if you have questions.
Exactly,
yeah.
yes.
So
yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's great. You know, you know, we love to actually, you know, push the code forward and use the new features ourselves, you know.
And I think, I mean, this is using, so we're using templates, we're using R-value references, we're using decal type.
Auto return.
We're using auto, yeah.
As a return type.
We're using RAII and move
of
semantics
course.
If we were using unique pointer.
Make unique.
Yep. But at the same time, we're still using the ancient, you know, except structure exception
yeah.
handling that sometimes, like in this case, is absolutely required. And so
yeah.
it's...
And it's a system... I mean, this is system programming, so you have to go down...
Absolutely, yep.
...to the, you know, to the extension we give you to actually,
yep.
you know, understand specific things inside Windows, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's great also that these isolate, for example, the, you know, this specific extension to a
exactly.
very, very precise piece of code.
Yep.
So this is really interesting, right? You know,
yep.
That's great.
And that's, I think that's one of the reasons I really enjoyed working on the CRT. Like, when I first
yes.
started off, I thought I was just going to be fixing, you know, a bunch of,
right.
you know, horrible bugs. And we have had
Times.
Some, like, bugs that I look at, it's like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I don't want to debug this. But you know, the opportunity to modernize it and to add these new features in and to make use of them where they were
yeah.
appropriate, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Can you share one of the most funny bug you found or most funny issue? Maybe it's not a bug.
The one that I had the most fun debugging was we had a bug where, like, right after a process was starting, we were having an access violation in the CRT exception handling machinery. And I stared at it for a good 4 or 5 hours before I was finally able to figure out, like, and it was
right.
literally just staring at it. Like, I couldn't even, like, think of where to look in the stack trace because
right.
everything looked fine. And it turned out what was happening is the CRT, so when you have a DLL
uh-huh.
And you write your DLL main, that's not actually the DLL main that the OS calls. There's another DLL main function called CRT startup or something like
right.
that that the CRT registers as, this is the DLL main, so the
Test
CRT
the link,
registers it,
yeah.
and then it initializes all your global variables, it does all of the CRT initialization in your DLL, and then it calls you.
Right.
And so we had this, what it turned out this issue was we would do all this initialization, and that includes, you know, setting up the heap and setting up the exception handling machinery, and we would call into the user's DLL main, and they would leave via a structured exception, which you're absolutely not allowed to do. Like, there's, like, do not ever do that. And so the structured exception would hit the CRT, and we have a finally block
to
clean up ourselves.
Yes.
We, you know, if the user's DLL main fails, then we want to make sure that we do all the correct cleanup on our end as well. So we did that, and what we did is we shut down the exception handling machinery and the heap, and then we returned. Well, it turned out that the user code in this case had also injected their own DLL main that was called before ours, and in there they were doing something that tried to handle the exception. Well, trying to handle that exception called back into the exception handling machinery, which had been shut down, and then we would throw an access violation. which then would roll back out to the user code, and they would catch it again, and it would call. It would end up back in the CRT. So we ended up basically with a Stack Overflow caused by infinite access violations.
Perfect.
So it was.
Perfect.
It was interesting. It was nice. Like a perfect storm of things.
Yes.
But
and did you have the sources to debug these, or was just
post-mortem? I'm not going to say which team it was, but I did have the sources in this case.
Okay. It's very hard to debug with just dumps.
It turned out the reason that they were throwing a structured exception in the first place was they were trying to call a delay-loaded API from their DLL main.
Of course.
And the delay load tried to load the DLL, which failed because the loader lock was held. And
it wasn't so straightforward, yes.
Yeah.
You know, always be careful in what you do in DLL main and just don't do anything. That's the safest thing.
So there was that. I think the nastiest code I've had to look at is, so on Windows, our line terminator is a carriage return and line feed, not just a line feed like certain other platforms. The logic required to do this translation and to do it correctly and to make sure that seeking and you know getting the file pointer work correctly is very complex. I've had to debug through a lot of that. We have a long-standing issue where if you have a file that uses just slash and line endings, Unix-style files, seeking may end up causing the file stream to end up in a corrupt state, and this was reported on Connect a while back. And so we looked at that, and I really wanted to fix it, but after spending a day on it, I was like, there's no way that we could fix it with high certainty that we're going to completely break it for everything else.
Yes.
So hopefully, as we're improving the code,
with
newer features and reducing complexity.
And depends when you can fix certain bugs. Mm-hmm. The time is important. Right? You can't fix it to risk to destabilize the platform, but early enough, in the product cycle is definitely the right time to do it.
This one was reported very late. There's just no way.
It's tough. Well, yeah. Thanks for reporting the bug anyway, whoever did it.
Whoever it was, it was interesting to look at.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, James. Mm-hmm. This was super fun.
Cool.
Hope you had fun too. I had.
I thought it was interesting to people.
Yes, but, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Follow me on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll put my link on there somewhere.
Absolutely, yes. We'll add more fun. And we probably even write down the code. It's not that large.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Have fun.
Bye.
More Sinon Times.
Dude, James is such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Cool.
Yeah. So, it was nice to stay in his office, look at the
old school.
The bear, all the stuff that he has in the office. Old school, yeah. So I really like the Stack Overflow part.
Yep.
And, the template tricks. Working in an old code base is always interesting. That's real shit. It's definitely important to write new code.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a lot of people out there that are to maintain and move forward code bases.
Mm-hmm.
We know one. I was talking with Tom Kirby Green.
What's up, Tom?
Last week.
Yes.
About, some of the things he has to do. So I think that's useful.
Awesome.
Send more questions. Let us know what you think about it, as usual.
Well,
And we see you at
Going Native.
Going Native, I do want to say
real quickly, the idea behind Going Native, and you learning this here first, is that we're going to do 3 days, not two.
All right.
Nobody knows what any of the talks are. So if you go to the Channel 9 site, you'll see that it's just a list of names and a description I kind of wrote. And you have no idea what these people are going to talk about.
That's by design. That's cool.
It's going to be a mystery, but we will post the talks. But on day three, you have no idea what's going on. It's going to be even cooler.
Yeah.
There's going to be lightning talks. There's going to be people from all over the company that are going to
join in.
Bjarne might do a 20-minute talk.
Yes.
Scott might do a 20-minute talk. It's going to be really interesting. And what you said about using templates in this way could be a really good talk. How do you move an old code base further?
I like the 20-minute format. Yeah,
right on, man. So register.
Register. We'll be there.
We'll be back in when? August?
August.
Boom.